Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is July 25th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. We are back after about a three-week break and much-needed R&R, bucket refilling, whatever you want to call it. But I've missed doing these calls, and I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back to work. And on that note, just want to let everybody know we do have our schedule out for the next couple months for the installer training. Some pretty big things coming up here in the next couple months as well. We've got the Culligan Tri-State meeting that we'll be speaking at. I'm going to try, if the schedule allows, to make it over to Eastern Water Quality Association, so hopefully I'll see all of you there. Definitely going to be at the Leadership Conference in Chicago, so if anybody's going there, I will see you there for WQA Leadership Conference. But and of course, the doors are open for any supplies or test kits or support items, fittings, plumbing supplies, anything like that that you might need from the NV marketplace. So that was a little, we'll start right off with an advertisement there. Anyway, I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week pretty much, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned in the last 3 weeks that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have?
Hey, Joe, it's Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Randalese yesterday, and you remember the Consumer Reports article that was published in January?
Yeah, we had a call on it. We talked about it with the filters, yeah.
The August edition is called The Dangers in Your Dust.
And yeah, I just saw that.
PFAS and lead.
Yeah, I just saw that in the dust, right? So I have not had a chance to read that one. Have you read it yet?
I have. And there's actually an article about staying safe from PFOSes in drinking water, an article inside the magazine this month.
Really? Okay. So thank you. So I saw that come through. So I have the Kindle premium, you know, just I read quite a bit. And man, it's so weird to think that, you know, I have all my reading material on a tablet. I still love a good turn-the-page paper book, but it's just not as convenient to carry. You know, I'm usually in the middle of two or three things that I'm reading, and it's just not as convenient to carry all three or four or two or however many things I'm reading, it's, you know, at once. But as included in the Kindle Premium subscription is that Consumer Reports, and I have that flagged as one of the things that I like to read every month. And so I saw that come through, but have not had a chance to read it yet. That's pretty cool. It's kind of, you know, and it, the one thing that struck me even before you said that was that there are a lot of dealers that I have worked with across the country that have taken on air quality as an additional revenue source, right? So, and it makes, you know, their logic being, hey, we're going in and treating their drinking water, why don't we also treat the air? I mean, it just seems to go hand in hand. People that would be interested in clean, you know, high quality drinking water would also be interested in clean, high quality air that they're breathing. So there are a lot of, you know, air purification systems, that ozone generators and air filters and stuff like that I've seen out there. You know, it might be kind of interesting to revisit that. I myself have never really done that much there. For a little while, the company that I was working with was doing this, this system that created a negative air pressure in the basement, and it basically helped keep the moisture out of the basement, so you didn't have mold and mildew issues in a basement. we were doing that for a little while. I don't know that it ever took off. I think it, you know, there is a challenge when you're focused on water treatment. I think sometimes there's a challenge on getting salespeople to refocus on something that's not related to water treatment. I mean, I myself, I would consider myself somewhat of an expert on water and water treatment. I wouldn't consider myself an expert at all on air quality and water quality and air filtration and that type of thing. And it's not that I'm not interested. It's not that I don't see that they go hand in hand, but you know, just for me, my focus. I mean, there's so much to learn even in this little focused area of what we do, what we provide to people. Does your company do any kind of air quality, or do any of you do any kind of, John, you're with Nelson. Do you guys sell any kind of air quality products? I know you've got the huge catalog and we buy a lot of stuff from you guys, but,
no, we've been presented with a few products, but, we haven't pursued it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting, right? And I don't know why. Scott, do you guys sell anything like that? Do you guys do anything?
We've discussed it, but we do not.
See, it's that's common, right? And I wonder why it hasn't taken off, because it does seem to go hand in hand, don't they? I mean, I'm not real sure. That's basically the answer. Paul, did you guys ever do anything with it? I think I know the answer to that, but
we didn't. And for me personally, and maybe it's just my own limitations, I found it difficult to get my hands around codifying what exactly do they do.
Yeah.
How long do they do it? What kind of services do you need? It seems it's kind of a nebulous world. You know, it's how do you verify performance? All that stuff.
Right. You know, it's kind of interesting. Did you ever stop, and this just now occurred to me, when you have a company like a, let's say a well driller or a, you know, or a plumber or an HVAC company, I wonder if they go through the same process, the same thought process, the same hesitation, the same challenges in expanding their business into, say, the water treatment side, as we're sitting here saying that we do on the air quality side. I wonder if it's a similar process, a similar thought process, you know, because there are so many people with Motor Vitality, you know, with what we do and helping build and train and stuff like that, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people that are looking to get into the industry, and then they don't, you know, for whatever reason. It's just a curiosity thing. I wonder if it's a similar process. But anyway, really interesting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that article now. And of course, PFAS, we're going to see more and more and more information about PFAS, because it's such a critical, I mean, this is the emerging contaminant of our time right now, right? I mean, this is something go ahead, Paul.
Kelly, I mean, first of all, I don't want to preempt you. You've got a topic you want to get to this morning? Okay.
Yeah.
Then I can shelve this, but...
No, go ahead. It's okay. It's okay.
I was going to comment on the Supreme Court decision on the Chevron doctrine. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with what happened with that.
Do tell.
So basically, and the reason that came to mind is that this whole PFAS thing might have some breaks applied to it as far as EPA and the mandates and the requirements for utilities and so forth, because the Supreme Court basically struck down the Chevron doctrine, and it was brought because it's basically saying that bureaucrats have in some cases overstepped their bounds with requirements that they placed on businesses, entities, and so on, and that they don't necessarily have the authority to do some of the things they've been doing. And this case was brought, at least in part, the example that I read about was fishing off the New England coast. And so they're concerned about the fishing population and how much fish are being caught and so on. So the government said, number one, you have to have a person on your boat monitoring your catch. Okay, so that's an intrusion to start with, right? I mean, you're running whatever you're running for business, and you have to have someone there on the boat watching what you do. And then the icing on the cake was, not only do you have to have this monitor there, you have to pay at that person. You have to incur that cost. So it ended up with the case going to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court struck down what's called the Chevron Doctrine, saying, whoa. You don't have the authority to do that. So I've read some things saying that this may impact the implementation of these standards about PFAS, that they may or may not, there may be some legal challenges now. So I just wanted to throw that
interesting.
In the mix.
Well, I think that is actually a good segue into the topic that I wanted to discuss today. And it's a little slightly different take on it, because we have talked about this. We've had this exact same topic, in the past. I mean, every couple of years, I usually throw this one in, because I think it's so important to talk about and to navigate through the way we handle these things. And the one thing that happened in the last 3 weeks that I've been off, that we have not had this call, is there was a lot of stuff happening in the political world. I mean, you know, they always say, right, that the topics that you are supposed to always avoid in business or in mixed company, you know, religion and politics, you're never supposed to talk about those things, right? They're always supposed to be avoided topics. And it's the thing that I have found, you know, when in a business where you are working with the general public every day, you're meeting complete strangers every day, or people that you've worked with for years, look, there is no, just to put it bluntly, there's no question that we live right now in a somewhat polarized environment, certainly politically, although religion has been a polarizing topic throughout the course of history. You know, I mean, when we talk about a polarizing topic, though, at least in this country right now, politics certainly comes to mind. You know, less so, I think, for most people, religion, although religion can absolutely be a polarizing factor. And the question is, you know, how do we navigate through our customers and the people that we're dealing with and our clients and the people out there? How do we navigate this world where, I mean, look, this is not the weather. These are, I mean, kind of to your point, Paul, about, you know, about the Supreme Court decision, these are decisions, you know, I think maybe more than ever, the people that we elect, both at the local, maybe more so at the local and state level than even at the federal level, they can have a direct impact on our businesses, our lives, certainly our family, you know, the people and things that we are passionate or care about. And, you know, the challenge is navigating that, because you can talk to 10 customers and have 10 different ideas. And in a world where everything is, you know, we've got the 24-hour news media now, and multiple news sources. Plus, we've got the social media, and we've got the internet and Google, and just, I mean, we are inundated on a daily basis, certainly with politics, right? And I want to throw the religion in there, because it's kind of the impact is similar. I would say that the politics are probably more difficult to avoid right now, but religion certainly is one of those, you know, I said, that's what they always say. You don't talk about religion and politics, right? But this is going to get increasingly more difficult to avoid, and to not be part of the conversations with as we get closer to the election. I mean, just look at how the news in the last there have been some really consequential historical events that have taken place on all sides of the aisle politically in this country. And it has been a topic of discussion. I've got a class, an installer class here in the facility from Louisiana this week. And there have been references to some of the current events. And at times, it's been really challenging. Certainly for me, who tends to follow politics, and actually I don't mind saying that I study. I mean, religion is one of the most fascinating topics that's out there. I actually study theological history and world religion sort of as a hobby, and so I'm pretty well versed even on that topic. I definitely have my opinions on the political side. And so it's so easy to make a comment or to say something that is representative of a political opinion. And the challenge for me, and this is the recommendation that I generally have for others in this industry, is to remember that we are in a service industry. All of us. I mean, even I'm not out there on a daily basis doing sales or presenting that, but I'm working with clients and I'm working with people from all over the country and talking to them. And if there is, the goal for me is that nobody in the country that I work with has any idea of where I fall on the political or religious spectrum, because it's not my story. So when I'm picking up a test kit and I'm walking into a house and I see a political sign out in the front yard that is obviously different than the political the stance that I carry, then how do I handle that? Do I make judgments of that person? That's the problem right now. I it's only been, the last decade or so, really, I guess. It's always been there. But now people just make total assumptions about somebody else if they're on one side or the other. They proclaim who they're supporting, and suddenly everybody just, they automatically make tons of assumptions about that person. And I don't think that necessarily defines us. I mean, there are tons of reasons why. I mean, I've got friends on both sides of the political spectrum, and when I say they're my friends, I mean they're truly my friends, because I know that they come by those opinions, whether I agree with them or not, with integrity and honesty, it's based on their life history and their opinions. So how do we, and I've sort of been just rambling here, so I'm going to open it up to you guys. How do we handle those situations when you are working with the public, when you're out there dealing with them? Do you find it as challenging as I do? Do you avoid it? Do you engage? What do you guys do? Nobody wants to talk about it on this call either, right?
All right, Kelly. All right, I'll wait in there. I don't care.
Okay.
I was trying to be polite and wait.
No, it's okay. Go ahead, Paul.
No, historically, with very rare exceptions, since we had a retail store in a very busy road, political candidates would approach us about putting out a sign for them. And only once in 40-odd years did we deviate and put a sign out. Other than that, my attitude was, not a good idea. Stay out of it. Just just don't get into it. And the same thing with customers. Don't bring it up. If somebody brings it up to me, I would respond, but not with anger, not with, you as low-key as possible, but you don't ever initiate it. No.
So. Yeah, I think in today's world, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but in today's world, it almost feels like you would potentially lose half your customer base if you put one sign or another out. You'd have to be prepared to potentially lose a huge portion, because people are so passionate about their side right now. And again, I'm saying this as neutral as possible. I think that goes kind of both directions, that people are as passionate about their side that you could potentially lose a huge portion of your client base. Who else? Any other thoughts on that? Paul, when you put that sign out, did you ever have anybody that commented did you see an impact?
Not to my knowledge, but the candidate was a very unusual candidate.
Yeah.
And that was why we put the sign out. And it may have garnered less ire from anybody because of that.
Yeah.
It was not a traditional candidate. So.
Sure. Okay. Right. So, who else? Anybody else? Is anybody else interested in contributing to this topic? I do have a suggestion when we're as we come to the end on how to handle this. But I want to get thoughts on that from anybody else. So here's my opinion of this, and it is strictly an opinion, of course. I think that sometimes, especially as we come to the election here in November, it seems like, the last, 10, 15 years particularly, we've just had some historic, and I really do think this is exacerbated by the media, and the social media, and the fact that the news is out there, and we are getting our news from so many different sources now, right? And so it's really easy to gravitate towards those, a lot of those news sources are very polarizing. And so it's easy, to find that news source that you're comfortable with that reinforces your viewpoint one way or another. I think that's just human nature, not to mention the fact that companies are experts at the algorithms. Go ahead, Paul.
Kelly, I think one term that you'll hear is confirmation bias.
Yeah, precisely. That's it, exactly. Yeah. So I think that it's really, really easy. It's going to get more so as we come to this election that we just had some really historic events that have occurred, and people are very involved in those events, or they feel like they're very involved, very vested in those historical events. And so I think as we go into the home, so here's my suggestion. Number one, and most important, is it's not your story, right? That's the most important thing this goes all the way back well over 100 years to Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And Dale Carnegie, in the basis of that book, the number one factor in that book that he talks about, right? The principle in that book is that you ask other people their opinions. You spend way more time asking questions and asking about them, letting them tell you how to do it. People love to tell you where they formed their opinions and how they formed their opinions and why they formed their opinions and how this works or that works. And that is true with both religion and politics. It is true of that. And the problem occurs when you ask them their opinion and then in some way, and many of us, including myself, sometimes are not very good at giving an alternative opinion without coming across and saying, oh, you're wrong, I'm right, and or at least giving them that impression. And so the thing to practice on, in my opinion, is asking them questions and letting them talk about their passion. You're in their home, or John, in your case, you're maybe in their place of business, or you're talking to them where they're, you know, they're reaching out to you, you know, as a manufacturer. I mean, all of us on this call, I don't know who popped on after, but I suspect that all of us on this call are dealing with the public somewhere. And so we ask them, we can certainly ask their opinions, or if they, as you said, Paul, volunteer it, you can certainly engage, you can, you know, show support for their opinion, but it's not, whether you agree with it or not, is completely and 100% irrelevant when we are, and look, if you think it's relevant, if you're one of those people out there who says, I'm not going to do business with that person because they are going to vote for this person, or because they believe in this religion or this politically, I think you're in the wrong business, honestly. I mean, because this industry, the water treatment industry, is bipartisan. It impacts all of us. What we do out there, you know, it does not care. You know, water quality does not care what political.
Kelly,
yeah,
Kelly,
go ahead.
Think of it this way. We're really there to help people solve problems.
Yes.
So how would you feel if you went to a doctor and he said, I won't perform a procedure on you because of your political leanings? You'd look at it and go, what?
Yes.
I mean, the doctor,
let's clarify, as long as that is an important political, or I'm sorry, an important medical procedure, right? Because that your example actually is one that happens pretty regularly right now. You know, people are not performing procedures because of a, you know, political or religious view. So I think to make your example accurate, you say, you know, if it's a required medical procedure.
Like in my case, I've had skin cancer. If I went to the doctor and they said, I'm not going to perform Mohs surgery on your hand because I think you're X, you know, this political belief, I'd be like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I 100% agree. Look, I've had those circumstances where, you know, I've gone into houses. In my book, I talk about the 28-year-old grandfather, you know, and the guy was 28, had a 14-year-old very pregnant daughter, and he wanted to buy a super expensive water softener for, you know, for his mobile home. And it was hard for me to look at that and go, man, where are your priorities, you know? But I told it to him because it's not my story, right? It's not my story. So now, that being said, in the last 2 minutes, I do want to kind of point this out. If you happen to go to somebody and you find out through conversation with them that you are politically aligned, that you believe in the same things, that you feel the same thing, I don't necessarily feel that it's a horrible thing to engage in conversation with them. Now you're building rapport. But you just have to be careful in doing that, because even within political parties, there are differences and sub-differences. And I mean, I know of people who I vote for the same person as them, yet they think that I'm politically, completely misaligned because I didn't come to the reason I'm voting for that person for the same reason they did, you know. And so the best course of action, in my opinion, is just remember it's not your story. You've got to, it's their story. Okay, you're there to help them in their place of business, in their environment, and you've just got to remember to listen more than you talk, particularly about, that's true with every part of your presentation when you're dealing with your clients, but particularly when it comes to these polarizing and divisive issues. Any final thoughts or comments here before we finish up?
Sounds like the key takeaway is Kelly has learned not to discuss politics with people from the South.
Yeah, who are you going to vote for, Scott? No, I'm kidding. Right.
That's
none of my business. That's right. And it really isn't. That's the key, isn't it? It's none of my business. That's right. So, anyway, guys, I hope that is – it's common sense, I realize, but I hope it does give you some thoughts about it. I'm so glad to be back. You guys, thank you very much for remembering to dial in. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Thanks so much.
Well, welcome back, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.